first thing I want to do is take a second before we start our discussion on Trump and Clinton, which we call the Trumped Up, Trickle Down, and Clinton's War on the Wealthy, present some exciting news about New Jersey estate tax just for a second, because many of you have hailed from New Jersey, left, maybe gone to Florida, Wyoming, Pennsylvania, California, all the southern states. So here is the change to the New Jersey estate tax, which was just passed in the past several days. The current estate tax exemption is $675,000. As a result of the legislation, the exemption now will increase to $2 million per person as of January 1, 2017, and then entirely eliminated January 1, 2018. For those of you in the tri-state area, this will bring New Jersey up to Connecticut, which is currently $2 million, and then it will exceed Connecticut and then exceed New York, which is currently $4 million. Plus dollars, scheduled to track the federal exemption by 2019, which is $5 million for New York. This will be completely eliminated for New Jersey. So New Jersey has two steps, $2 million January 1, 2017, and then completely eliminated January 1, 2018. Very, very important concept for those of you without children. The New Jersey inheritance tax will still be in place. It's a separate tax imposed on the inheritances by non-lineal heirs, which are spouse, children, and descendants. That's the non-lineal. The inheritances on siblings, nieces, and nephews will still be subject to the inheritance tax, number one. All in all, it's a positive move here, and in some respects should have a real advantage to people considering New Jersey for estate tax purposes, why they've moved out. Part two here is that the legislation has also increased the gross income tax exclusion for pensioners, people who are drawing from their 401ks, people who are getting a pension from their physician. Of course, many of you on the phone are drawing assets from a host of other areas but still have a pension, whether you're a senior executive at a pharma company or an investment bank, the pension is something that was taxed from dollar one. So Pennsylvania has a wonderful rule that has provided an exemption from your pension income. New Jersey now has jumped this, so their gross tax exclusion now goes to $100,000 for joint filers. It was at $20,000 in 2016. And 2017, it will go to 40 and 80,000 in 2018, and then 100,000 of exempt income. That can mean, in total, $10,000 of additional income for people who have a pension that's generating $100,000. The first 100,000, we can save 10,000 in the net number. The same 75,000 is the max for individuals. And by 2019, we'll hit that number. So a good piece of tax news for those who are residing in New Jersey. So the candidates have, both Trump and Clinton have presented their plans. These plans have changed. We were scheduled to be on with the Wall Street Journal in the past 2 weeks, and our presentation on where they were and the platforms have changed just in that short period of time on certain matters. So we're tracking it as close as we can. You know, three things to keep in mind. This is their current plan. It could change again before the election. Number two, they may not get elected, whoever we're watching more closely. Number three, their plan doesn't mean that it's going to necessarily have the political horsepower and capital to pass through the House and the Senate. We are also tracking each of the swing states that could impact a change in the Senate and a change in the House. These numbers are not insignificant, meaning they are significant and there would have to be real change in voting to change the current complexion of both the Senate and the House, which is currently divided. So whoever gets elected will be facing an uphill battle to support their platform if they believe in their platform and push it hard. But what today's call is to address what are their plans. So Trump's broad platform, reduce taxes, especially for the working middle-class Americans, says the platform. Ensure that the wealthy pay their fair share while making sure that their share does not destroy jobs or undermine their ability to compete. Number three, eliminate special interest loopholes, but make the U.S. business tax rates more competitive, thereby keeping more jobs in the U.S. This is research put out specifically by the Trump campaign. Clinton's platform, ensure that the effective tax rates rise for taxpayers who are avoiding paying their fair share, and that the richest Americans pay an effective tax higher than middle-class families. Number two, close loopholes in the tax system that allow the wealthy to avoid paying their fair share of taxes. And number three, support the Buffett rule, which she spoke about the other night on during the debate. Support the Buffett rule, which would ensure that those making more than $1 million per year would pay a minimum tax rate of at least $30,000 so that they do not pay a tax rate lower than that paid by the middle class. The piece that Hillary was commenting about, where Trump has legally utilized his tax credits to offset his income tax. We're on to estate tax number two, Trump's plan. Number one, eliminate the federal tax that is levied on estates of $5.545 million for a single person and $10.9 million for a married couple. So that would be eliminated. However, number two, do not allow a step-up in basis if capital gains on assets of death exceed $10 million. So this means if you have a $20 million estate and your basis for tax purposes is $9 or $10 million and you would pay no tax on a federal level, on a state tax, and when you sold those assets, you would get a step-up in basis because your gain is roughly $10 million or less, and that would save you an additional almost $4 million in gains tax. So for the those in the $20 million range and down, you would not only avoid the estate tax if your basis was $2 million, or $3 million on a $20 million total estate, you would avoid paying the gains tax as well. There's a further caveat that this allows donations of appreciated assets into private charities created by the decedent. So if you're making gifts of appreciated assets into a private charity, you would not get the full charitable value because you're getting a basis step up on your assets when you die. So they're not allowing you to double dip. The Clinton plan says we're going to reduce the federal exemption from 5.45 to 3.5 million for a single and 7 million for a married couple. In lieu of the present maximum rate of 40%, rates for the smaller estates will go to 45%. And then there are three additional brackets. So estates over $10 million would pay 50%. Number two is estates valued at over $50 million would pay 55%, and estates valued at over $500 million would be paying 65%. This has to be taken in, be viewed in a vacuum because this does not take into account strategies that we've employed where we put assets into trust, they're off your balance sheet, they themselves will avoid estate tax. So the emphasis here is if you had a $10 million estate today, you would pay no tax. Under the Clinton plan, you would pay a 45% rate on anything over $7 million. And if you were a $20 million estate, you would pay 45 on the first 3 million from 7 to 10, and then you would pay 50% from 10 to 20, and all the way up to $50 million, you would pay that 50%. Once you're over 50, then the bump again goes to 55%. Are these rates confiscatory? If you look in the past 20 years, the answer is they are higher than we've seen in the past. However, we've seen rates in the 70s, that are significantly higher, in numbers closer to 70%, on rates significantly lower, on a state significantly lower than where Clinton is. So she is, still has history on her side if we're looking at this from a plan as to how significant is her exemption. She would eliminate the step-up in basis, meaning that assets that are owned by the decedent would pay the gains tax when sold afterwards. This could be viewed as double-dipping, meaning you're paying a gains tax and you're paying an estate tax, and it would encourage you, should Hillary get in, to consider moving assets off your balance sheet while you're alive, because you're already losing the step-up in basis argument today when you move assets off your balance sheet. And so she will maintain that on death you'll still not get the step-up in basis. So it will encourage you to do more estate planning while you're alive, and there will be no sacrificing of a tax benefit that you get today when you die, which is the step-up in basis. You will lose that under the Clinton plan, so it would be all the more reason to be moving assets into trust while you're alive. Clinton's campaign indicated that it would include protections and flexibility for small and closely held businesses, farms and homes, personal property, family heirlooms, but none of this is developed yet. So we've always heard about trying to protect the farmers and those who own small businesses from being decimated by an estate tax that would could potentially crush that small business. So we will learn more about this, and again, must emphasize that all of this will be a negotiation. If each of Trump and Clinton, either one wins, it is not just their platform, but it will be the it will be what happens to the complexion of both the Senate and the House, and her or his ability to negotiate, and the ability or disinclination of the House and the Senate to negotiate. We're on income taxes. Trump's plan, simplify the tax code, decreasing the current 7 tax brackets to 3, 12%, 25%, and 33%. The current tax bracket top rate right now is 39%. The 33% tax bracket would apply to married couples with a taxable income of more than $225,000 and to a single person with income of more than $112,000. So the rate would go down by approximately 6.6% for the top bracket. Number two, continue the existing capital gains structure with a 10% gains tax for those in the 25% bracket and a 20% gains tax for those in the top 33% bracket. So gains tax structure, rather than it being uniform across the board, today it's a 20% gains tax. Trump is proposing that it go to 10%, and then when you're in a higher bracket, a taxable bracket, then you would pay a 20% gains tax. Last two pieces, he would repeal the alternative minimum tax and eliminate the 3.8% tax on investment income. This is the 3%. Right now, your total gains tax is 20 plus the 3.8% Obama surtax, so 23.8. And right now, if that's eliminated, it would put you in a position that you would be paying 10% on anything if you are in the 25% tax bracket. So, and the last piece is instead of a child tax credit, child tax costs would be a tax deduction, subject to income tax. Clinton's plan is to support the current 7 brackets that are in existence right now and also add a 4% surtax on income above $5 million. So those earning $5 million or more would pay this surtax, increasing the top bracket to 43.6%. So today it's 39.6%. For those making over $5 million, it will go to 43%. No change in the brackets right now for the middle class and the upper middle class, and even the wealthy. For capital gains, create a higher capital gains rate on a sliding scale, such as 36% if assets are held 2 to 3 years, and then a rate would decline 4% per year until it reaches 20% if held more than 6 years. Gains on assets held less than 2 years would be taxed at ordinary income. So today, as you know, gains rates tax when you hold things more than a year, you enjoy gains tax treatment, and the rate is 20%. If you now you'll have to hold it for 2 years, number one, and number two is, but your best advantage, if you are holding it more than 6 years, that will get you down to the current rate of 20%. So you'll have to hold it for a longer period of time. This is probably leading to people who are our middle and lower middle class who really don't have many assets, are not in the business of trading their assets. In fact, they may only have one or two that they would even have as a significant asset, and as a result, are not selling that frequently over the course of our lifetime. So hitting the six-year rate means we would have to hold assets significantly longer, otherwise suffer a higher rate. And that will be a very important tax consideration when we're deciding whether to sell or purchase assets, the holding period. Number three is to require taxpayers earning more than $1 million to pay a minimum tax rate of 30%. Hillary discussed this again in the debate. This is the Buffett rule, so under no circumstances would you be in a position where you would pay less tax than somebody who is making significantly lower amount of money. Hillary has a new proposal that will double the child tax rate to $2,000 per child less than 17 years of age. Currently, that credit is $1,000. And that would be phased out if the couple's income reaches $110,000. So this advantage of $2,000 would be across the board. We would all benefit from it. On the business taxes, support Trump's plan supports a 15% corporate rate. And rather than the current 35% with the rate available to both small and large businesses, allow manufacturing companies in the U.S. to elect to expense all capital expenditures if election is made, and the company could not deduct the interest on the finance purchases, meaning that rather than depreciating these assets, which is a much longer scale, when you own a $1 million machine, you depreciate over its useful life, you get a tax benefit every year. This would be deemed as an expense, and so an immediate deduction up front. Clinton's plan does not change the corporate tax rates, but allows small businesses to expense up to $1 million of new asset purchases. So if you are buying a machine or an air conditioning unit or heavy equipment, you will be able to enjoy a tax deduction in the year that you purchase it rather than having to go through up to $1 million, rather than having to go through a long depreciation schedule and effectively stretching out the tax benefit over many years, but a little each year versus getting it all up front. So at least both sides are addressing the ability for small businesses to expense. Carried interest, big issue with our and you private equity and hedge fund managers. You can characterize the investment profits as a carried interest, which is taxed as a capital gains rate. Trump's plan would tax the carried interest as ordinary income. Clinton's plan would tax the carried interest as ordinary income as well. Both of them not being necessarily in the hedge fund business, this is something that they both can agree to from their platform. Corporate inversions. Number six, this is U.S. company acquires a company based in a foreign country, usually a low-tax country, and then relocates overseas to the other country for tax purposes to avoid the U.S. corporate taxes. Trump's plan, corporate inversions are less attractive due to Trump's plans to decrease the corporate tax rate from 35% to 15%, so there would be less corporate inversions. But he would allow previously untaxed foreign corporate profits held abroad to be repatriated at a one-time tax rate of 10%. So it could raise funds, but that they would have a one-time shot to do that before they undertook the corporate inversion. For Clinton's plan, it is to impose a 50% threshold for the foreign company shareholder ownership after the merger, before an American company can give up its U.S. identity, which would make it harder for a U.S. company to be classified as a foreign-owned to avoid the taxation. So, again, a 50% threshold, plus an exit tax on companies that leave the U.S. so that they pay their fair share of the U.S. taxes they owe on deferred foreign earnings. Again, the exit tax would ensure that they pay their fair share before they left on the deferred earnings of the company that they've had overseas. Tax policy takeaways. So what is the impact on estate planning and wealth management? Number one, for Trump, the planning should proceed as usual, but be structured around multiple goals and not just minimizing taxes, especially if there is an elimination of the estate and gift tax. That being said, we always have to be respectful of whomever gets into office. Again, we don't know what the laws will do, but we must, how they'll change. We must also know that whomever is president, it could change again. The irony here is that in the 70s, we may have had the most confiscatory estate tax rate, and then we went towards elimination of estate tax in the early to mid-2000s, and now the leading candidate is bringing the rates back to 2000 to mid-70s, so or close. The point being that the conservative approach here is to know that the taxes swerve high and low, and that we need to be respectful that we don't know when we will leave this earth, and the planning should address that the worst possible tax regime for estates will occur at the time we pass away, and take that approach to move forward. So Clinton should be aware that the tax benefits of the original estate plan might not occur, although their goals may be realized. So in time, we've watched many people doing plans to say, I haven't seen the immediate tax benefit, but there may be issues where their assets have appreciated off their balance sheet, and that in itself has provided them a tax benefit. Irrevocable life insurance trusts will continue to provide benefits of asset protection and divorce protection. So all of you who have not put all of your insurance into trust, we continue to emphasize that as a big, big issue. We are to finish on Clinton's plan. Like 2012, there will be a scramble to get necessary planning in place to utilize the current estate and gift tax exemption. So we are already heavily involved in doing planning right now for clients because of new Treasury regs that will impact estate taxes. There'll be all the more reason if Clinton gets in that the conservative approach will be to do year-end planning, because we simply don't know how effective her estate tax proposals will be in being passed by Congress. We do want to be mindful that there can be restrictions on GRATs, and there are estate plans incorporating long-term GRATs would be necessary to take advantage of the low interest rates. So longer-term GRATs, in case, as President Obama tried, to shorten GRATs. So we are focused on always including in the calculus longer-term GRATs in the event that a law would be passed that would set minimums for GRATs, and so get your GRATs in while the getting is good. We also want to consider decanting powers in documents for flexibility. So all of your trusts have the ability to decant, which means to modify. So finally, of course, I want to reiterate that with the loss and the step-up of basis at death, a significant issue, and if there continues to be this strategy, and again, that has been one of the biggest saving graces in the past 3 to 4 years, is as basis continues to be stepped up, meaning you get new tax treatment for your assets when you pass away and your children and your loved ones can sell them at a tax advantage. If that goes away, then more than ever it will be important to say that one advantage of keeping assets in my estate has now evaporated. And so now there's no more reason to leave those assets in my estate until I pass away. Give them away now and at least get the future growth off of our balance sheet. So today's call is to say that there are exciting things that are going on in the estate and income tax area. We're watching this closely. We are pleased. Even the last question at the last debate was focused away on the personal attacks and more on the notion that we do have to work collaboratively to address the new tax regime going forward. Our job is to keep you posted. Once the election is over, we will then put together, as we did after the last Obama election and before that, what our projections are and what our recommendations are for you from an estate tax standpoint. In the meantime,